Les Rendez-vous de la Francophonie is an annual celebration that promotes the French language, heritage, and its numerous cultural expressions. The Canadian Foundation for Cross-Cultural Dialogue, in partnership with the National Campus and Community Radio Association, and this station present Les RVF Marathon, which aims to promote language duality in Canada across the country. Stay tuned for this marathon day of the Rendez-vous de la Francophonie and visit www.ncra.ca/RVF for more information on this event.
Hello and welcome to the 2019 Rendez-vous de la Francophonie Marathon Day of Programming, celebrating Francophone culture, value, and heritage, and the 50th anniversary of the Official Languages Act here in Canada. My name is Barry Rook. I'm the Executive Director of the National Campus and Community Radio Association. And over the next handful of hours, we're going to be taking you through 20 documentaries speaking about Francophone culture, value, and heritage from all across the country. Let's get started by talking with Guy Matt, the Executive Director for La Fondation pour le Dialogue de Culture and the key programmer for Rendez-vous de la Francophonie in 2019.
Yeah, I'm Guy Matt. I'm the Executive Director of the Canadian Foundation for Cross-Cultural Dialogue. And that's the organization responsible for different events during the year, but one of the main ones is Les Rendez-vous de la Francophonie. So that's the period that surrounds the March 20th, which is the International Day of Francophonie around the world, and help to make, to value Francophones, the 270-some million people across the world, different continents who are speaking French, including the 10 million Canadians that do see French as one of their two official languages. So we are making a lot of activities during the month of March, and we are helping groups also to develop areas and activities during that period. But we also have to remember that Canadians, French Canadians, all across the country are participating in the development of this country. We are all the way from the Yukon to Newfoundland, including Iqaluit in the Nunavut and all the provinces. But we are there. We intend to stay there. We want to participate in the development of those communities, whether it is educational, whether it is cultural, whether it is economical. It's an important time to take stock of what we've done in the past and where we intend to go in the future. We have seen a tremendous development of the awareness of Francophone presence all across the country over the last 20 years. We now know as Canadian that we are in practically every community across the country. Francophones are there. They make themselves visible. They have developed schools. They have put cultural centers. They have developing programming in culture. They are ensuring the economic development by having business, the opening business, participating in business. So we are making our presence felt. And I think this is important for Canada, because as long as Canada has two communities, Francophones and Anglophones, in terms of linguistic communities, and that they can live together, I think this country is going to go very, very far. We should not discount the fact that the bilingualism of this country is what makes this country united, and it should remain such.
Can you speak to some of the events or some of the festivities that are going on this year?
So there's two types of activities. One that is put by our own office, and so across the country we're holding, for example, Just for Laughs programs from Victoria to St. John, including the territories. So we are present with developing our own programs, but we also are there to make sure that the communities themselves and the people in the different communities are making their presence known by developing activities where they invite their neighbors and their friends and those that are not aware already that there's a Francophone community right next door, to see that we are there all across the country. So there's about 3,000 different activities that are developed throughout this period, and that you can always go and see if you want to check if your neighbor is doing something, if your cultural center, Francophone Cultural Center, is doing something, and they forgot to invite you, go on the website, which is www.rvf.ca, and you'll see for your province and for your city and for the time what is open in terms of a gallery, a cultural affair, a lunch, or whatever, a show, and then you can also participate in this as a great Canadian.
So why don't you speak a little bit about one of your favorite events so far that's happened this year?
Well, the Just for Laughs shows that we've put across the country is always a great attraction, and people participate in this, and we have a really fun time. But I know that if that's done mostly in French, so some people might not be from your area, might not have been able to go to visit this. But there are other things. For example, if you were in St. John in Newfoundland, you could have gone to a Zumba course during that period, or you could have gone to a badminton course, and then you can play with Francophones, your Francophone neighbors. Then you don't need to speak French, but you can see that Francophones are there and are able to organize stuff. So ACPI, which is the association for immersion teachers, are also putting activities all through the country during that particular time in the schools where they are teaching, and parents who have kids in immersion can come in and visit their kids and see what they've been doing in French and how they can participate. You can go for singing in Chorale Rose des Vents again in Saint-Jean, or we have another one in Victoria that are being put together, and you can go and listen to these songs being done by a French language choral, and that, even if you don't understand the language, you'll love the music.
You mentioned some of the partners that you have involved here. Who is it, some of the bodies that you've worked with that are really important to support the RVF program?
Well, there's two types of support that we get. One, we do get a lot from the educational field, especially for those who work in French as second language schools. Either the immersion program or the core French program teachers are very, very supportive of what we're doing, because for them it's important also to show the kids, the English kids in their program, that there's a very lively Francophone community surrounding their own area. So we have the educational field that is there. We also have a lot of business that are helping us, whether, you know, groups that find it interesting to, or important, not interesting, but important to support Francophone communities wherever they are, such groups as Air Canada or VRI, VIA, are very important to us. But we also have groups just as the one we are talking to today, when we talk about the campus and the community radio Anglophones across the country. This is also a very important group that we want to reach out to, because you are talking to people in a community that we may not naturally be talking to regularly. So these are the type of people that we find important. Of course, on the other side, on the Francophone side, we have the network of enterprise across the country, Francophones, that's a very large one, and that's one that we are working with very, very strongly, with the universities and colleges across the country. We're doing the same thing. So it's important to reach every level of Canadian society, be it kids, youth, those in universities and college, of the adult population.
You mentioned Just for Laughs, very Canadian iconic program. Can you tell us a little bit about the history of how that sort of came to be? Because I know there's a very interesting sort of cross and how that's come into culture, where maybe people don't understand why it came to be and how it's grown to what it is today.
Yeah, it's an interesting story. Remember that in the beginning, in the first years, we were doing a lot of touring related to either a theater or a singer. And then we decided that maybe there's something more that we can do to bring about a new public to those type of to the type of Just for Laughs, humor. Let's put humor. So of course we're putting on shows, but one important thing we're doing is also to train kids in secondary schools in each of the cities where we're bringing this program to go for stand-up training. So we bring trainers so these kids in secondary school, those who want to, will be able to train. And and now we're going to go next year. We're starting to go into English schools, especially immersion, or those who want to have some knowledge of French, to be able also to be trained. So I'm talking about groups like this year. This year we were working with Ashbury College here in the Ottawa area, and they've got some 30-some kids who were participating in the training. So we're going to take some of those kids in immersion. We did the same thing in Manitoba, for example. In Winnipeg, we have immersion school that are training kids to be stand-up. So we take these kids, the best one, those who have been trained, and then we put them on the stage with the professional humorist of the Just for Laughs program. So, you know, we're developing a new public and also a new understanding that humor is something that brings people together.
And I guess, finally, can you tell us about some of the contests that are being run that people can participate in right now if they hurry up?
Yes, it's not over yet. You still have a day or two if you go to the website, rvf.ca, and then you can go on the English one. And then you've got a contest there for every Canadian, that every Canadian can participate in, whether they're French, English, or even if they don't master both official language or one of the official language, you can always go and try their luck at some of the contests. So contest about language and contest about correction of text. So and very fun stuff. So you go and check the website. It's not too late. We are running in a couple of days. We'll have the winners and good prizes, either trips even up to Europe or to Montreal or Toronto or Vancouver, who knows? So money. So you just go and check these different contests. It's not too late.
Thank you so very much. We'll speak to you throughout the rest of the day here on the marathon, and we wish you all the best with the rest of today and as you go into plus 20 years of RVF.
Thank you very much, and I wish everybody a good Rendez-vous de la Francophonie.
You're listening to the Rendez-vous de la Francophonie Marathon Special. Let's go back to the opening launch party recorded on March the 1st in Ottawa and speak with some of the participants of that event.
Hi, my name is Eric Lauzon. I'm a manager of community partnerships at Air Canada, which is part of the government affairs and community relations team. And we've been actually supporting the Rendez-vous de la Francophonie for a few years now. And our partnership is growing, as you know, as the national airline. It's just the perfect match, the perfect partnership, because this is an event that's across Canada, goes in like most provinces in Canada where we fly. And what we also bring to the table as well is that, I mean, as an international carrier, a global carrier, we also, you know, open markets to new areas, like that opens the horizons of the Francophonie in Canada, developing new markets like Morocco, Algeria, new destinations in France, Belgium, Switzerland. So, so we're just, happy to contribute to the vibrancy of the Francophonie outside Quebec
and in Quebec as well.
So how does the organization connect here?
Well, since we've been supporting for a few years, just a good marriage of of objectives and partnerships, and we've had a good relationship with the Fondation Dialogue as well.
For you personally, what is the importance of RVF?
It's really to make the French Canadian culture accessible throughout the country, which is not an easy task, because obviously, depending on where you go in Canada, there's like smaller pockets of French population that don't necessarily have access to cultures. And so in this case, there's going to be lots of humorists from mostly from Quebec, Ontario, and other parts of the country that are going to be gathering and celebrating Francophonie with other artists as well, locally in each province.
Well, thank you so much for your time. I wish you all the best, and I'm sure everybody here greatly appreciates and acknowledges the support Air Canada's put into the program.
Thank you very much.
Well, my name's Nicole Thibault, and I'm the Executive Director of Canadian Parents for French National. Canadian Parents for French is a very large volunteer network with 25,000 parent members across the country. We have an office in every one of the provinces and territories, and we really support parents who want to promote and support their the opportunities to learn French for their children. And so we work with schools, we work with teachers, we work with different community organizations, such as Les Rendez-vous de la Francophonie, and we're able to really just share the opportunities, the activities that are going on that promote French. So this 1 month activity for Rendez-vous is a great, great platform to let parents of all kids, all ages, know that the children can go out and see a French movie, they can participate in French theater, there's activities within their schools, within their communities, they may actually just be able to meet Francophones and use their French. So it's one thing to learn French in school, in a French immersion program, an intensive French program, a core French program, but you're talking to the kids in your classroom or your teacher, it's a whole other thing to get outside into your community and get to speak to a real French speaker. You know, we talk a lot about expressions and different accents and just intonation and speed of language, they're actually able to find out, yes, I can do this, I can communicate, and that I've learned something that's broadened my understanding of being Canadian, that opportunity to know a little bit more about the other and how the other culture lives, things that interest them, topics or priorities in their lives. And so that's really what we're all about. Canadian Parents for French is an organization that promotes the use of French, the learning of French for kids in all ages, in all programs. And then, of course, we support their parents. And so we hope they, too, are out there learning French and supporting their kids. And so that's our main role. The kinds of specifics we do is we do a lot of communication with our newsletters. We have chapters in each of the communities. We try to get students participating. And I think Rendez-vous, the organization behind it, really wants to reach out more to the Anglophone majority. And we're able to help them do that.
If you were to talk to a parent who's hesitant in introducing other languages to their child, what would you suggest is sort of a first and easy step to gather some interest?
I think that you can start at home, even when you're a, you know, a unilingual Canadian. There's so many opportunities if you have on TV, on the radio. There's so many videos out there. There's all opportunities for kids to hear French songs. And I often think just that visit to the public library, just let's go explore what's on the shelves in French and let's go find out what we can take home with us. So it doesn't have to be an actual like purchase or a financial investment. It's a way to just explore it together. We're very fortunate to have French youth programming that's extremely high quality and recognized worldwide. And so if Canadians can take an opportunity to take advantage of that and find out how that gets their child excited at a young age, I think then they know that the kids are open to it when you start enrolling them in kindergarten and in later grades in the schools.
Excellent. And can you tell me a little story that would make me smile around what you've done in the past?
I think what's kind of cute is just the way the kids take it on as their own. And so sometimes we think, well, I'm English, I'm not French. But once they are into a French immersion program, they're coming home, they're hearing cultural stories, and all of a sudden they come home to their parents and tell them, well, you know, this is me now. Like it's an added value. It's almost like their identity has been expanded. So I have a memory of having done a kindergarten class, and we happened to be celebrating Franco-Ontarian Day. Franco-Ontarians have a flag onto themselves. And so since it was a kindergarten class, we did the flag and we colored it. And the child came home to their mom and said, we have to post this on the front door. And the mother said, well, why? And she said, because it's mine. This is my flag. This is who I am now. And we need to let the neighborhood know it. And I just thought that that's just an example of even at 4 years old, you can start to feel like you belong. You're a part of the other group because you've been included with them.
And where can people go to get more information about the organization?
So our organization, Canadian Parents for French, very simple, cpf.ca, so that's easy. And then with the kinds of activities that we do, rvf.ca promotes all kinds of wonderful opportunities in the community, and we're involved that way.
My name is Stéphane Derry. I'm the CEO of the Translation Bureau. For myself, I'm born in Quebec. I'm a Francophone. Bilingualism is extremely important to me. I had a chance to work in Atlantic Canada in Halifax, and that's where I realized that although here, when I worked here in Ottawa, I had a balanced life. I worked most of the day in English and spent most of my night speaking French. When I moved to Halifax for a year and a half, I got into I worked in English and I lived in English at night. And that's where I realized my attachement au français, the importance that French had for me in the bilingualism of Canada. So when they offered me to come and lead the Translation Bureau, who's basically the service provider for the government of Canada to ensure that Canadians are served in French and English, that receive document of equal quality in English and French, I said, yes, absolutely. I'm quite happy to take that responsibility. And on top of that, having tools like the Portail Linguistique that allows us to make the bilingualism shine to all community across Canada, it's quite a nice tool that we have and like a flagship of the Bureau, I would say.
Can you tell me a little bit more about some of those tools that you have and what would be an easy way if you're looking to increase your knowledge, where would you be best to go?
I would say that the Portail Linguistique, the linguistic portal of Canada, is the place to go, where you have access to Termium, as I was talking earlier, where there's over 200 countries that looked at Termium to do research on linguistic term 100,000 times a day. There's research in that system. Just to show, I would say probably 50,000 of them are in Canada, but it shines across the world. It is renowned around the world that it's a fantastic tool to have the just in French and in English of terminology that are based on government practices.
For you personally, you touched about it a little earlier on. What do you think the importance is of a dynamic bilingual country?
To me, it's more than bilingualism. It's about culture. It's about reflection of the richness of the culture. I had an opportunity earlier in my career to build a team made of different people from all around the world. The students I hired in my team in the government of Canada. And after, you know, the first few weeks, the first few months, when people get to know each other and we had conversation and we had decision to make, that's where you could see the beauty of the different culture, the different way of thinking, the different way of looking at a problem, looking at a solution, bringing a richness to our decision that we wouldn't have if we were not mixing our culture and having that beautiful country that we have, that based on the French and English.
I'll put you on the spot. Can you tell me a little story about that would make me smile?
Try to translate what broke a camel's back, the straw that broke a camel's back. How would you translate that in French?
I couldn't tell you. I need to go to the portal, I think.
Well, I don't think you'll find that in the portal. And that's the richness of expression as an example, right? La goutte qui a fait déborder le vase serait la traduction presque de straw that broke the camel's back, but it doesn't make sense when you look at the translation. So that's the beauty of the different culture and the different expression that we have in French and English in this country.
We're celebrating RVF. What does that mean for Canada, in your opinion?
It means that we still have a strong Francophone community and we need to continue to strengthen it and to ensure it's continue to be flourishing, right? I mean, it's there, it's been there for 20 years, it's been working and it's going from success to success. So that's quite encouraging.
I'm Patrick Chan, a 10-time Canadian figure skating champion and 3-time world champion.
And where are we here right now?
We are at Les Rendezvous de la Francophonie. It's the launch day for the rendezvous, which is going to run from the 1st of March till the end of March.
And how is it you're involved in today and the whole month's celebrations?
Well, not many people know that I'm a Francophone at heart. I've had a Francophone influence actually my entire childhood. Being born in Ottawa, I started at a French Montessori school, and even when I moved to Toronto, my father and my mom put me into elementary French school called Gabriel Roy, and then a French secondary school in Toronto called Étienne Brûlé. So I think it hasn't been talked about enough during my figure skating career, which it's kind of overshadowed that aspect of my life. And I also want to challenge myself. I reached out. I wanted to be a part of this because I wanted to be involved in a community that helped me grow and helped me become who I was as a Canadian and as a figure skater. So it's a culture that's really close to my heart.
How do you think growing up with multiple languages has impacted how you have turned out?
I hope in a positive manner. I think it lends a lot of different perspectives. Learning languages, different languages. I come from parents who spoke Cantonese and are from Hong Kong, and then I have both languages, Canadian languages of English and French. It's not just the language, though. I think it's also the culture, the mindset. My figure skating career really took off in my high school years, in the last 3 years of my secondary school. And the support, I look back at that time and the support I had from my French schoolmates was really unique. I never had to deal with any sort of bullying or any sort of being picked on at school because of figure skating that I now hear a lot of, unfortunately. But I was so fortunate to have grown up in a system where the arts and the creativity and expressing yourself was such a big part of that culture, of the French culture and the Francophone culture. So I only felt support and love, and I was able to travel around the world. And one of my first international competitions was in France, was in Paris, and I was not only nervous about competing on the international stage, but I was also nervous of being in a foreign country. But my abilities to speak French, my abilities to converse with other French athletes made me feel right at home, and it helped me a lot in my career.
And I was going to say, I have a feeling that the Canadian influence, whether it's English, French, or all the other languages that are spoken here, has a lot to do with when you're traveling abroad. You felt very close to other Canadians because of this.
Yeah, oh my gosh. You can communicate with all Canadians across the board, Francophone or Anglophone or both. I think it's truly a part of our Canadian history. It's part of our Canadian heritage. So for me, it was my duty as a true Canadian and as eventually a Canadian representative internationally, at the Olympic level, to really embrace both cultures of the Anglophone world and the Francophone world.
Well, I think they're going to call us back into the other steps. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
You're listening to the Rendezvous de la Francophonie Marathon Programming. The NCRA has been a proud partner with Fondation pour le Dialogue de Culture for the last 4 years, and we have over 120 documentaries available to listen at ncra.ca/RVF, plus the 20 more coming up on the rest of this Marathon Day programming today. We're going to hand this over to one of our other 19 participants here on the NCRA Radio Network to continue on.
Thank you for joining us for this marathon day of Rendezvous de la Francophonie, presented by the Canadian Foundation for Cross-Cultural Dialogue, the National Campus and Community Radio Association, and this station. For more information on the Rendezvous de la Francophonie events, or to provide feedback on the show, visit www.rvf.ca.